Not much in a name. Some have fortune and some have fame. Oh, but this man, he means so much to me. Oh, just the mention of his name, from the mountains to the seas, oh, there's power in this man, Jesus. Jesus, he gave his life for all. Jesus, he's there whenever I call, and he cares for my every need. Oh, when I'm hungry, he feeds me. And when I've lost my way, he leads me. Oh, there's power in this man, Jesus. Men worship many things, fancy houses and diamond rings, but none compare to this man, Jesus. For he hung on a cross, oh, gave his life. The world was lost, but he lives today. Oh, this man, Jesus. Jesus, he gave his life for all. Jesus, he's there whenever I call, and he cares for my every need. Oh, when I'm hungry, he feeds me. And when I've lost my way, he leads me. Oh, there's power in this man, Jesus. Jesus, he gave his life for all. Jesus, he's there whenever I call, and he cares for my every need. Oh, when I'm hungry, he feeds me. And when I've lost my way, he leads me. Oh, there's power in this man, Jesus. Oh, there's power in this man, Jesus.
Jesus, that's what it's all about. Amen. Well, I had a good service this morning. I'm glad a couple of folks got saved.
Amen.
I believe it's a 13-year-old girl and a 13-year-old boy got saved after church, so that's good. And we're going to be talking to them about baptism, so I'm looking forward to that too. So if you've got your Bibles tonight, turn to 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. Another one of these messages that I love the story in the Bible, and I love to preach on it. It's about Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria. It's So if you've got your place, just sit where you are, and let's read down four verses. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his Lord, saying, "Thus and thus saith the maid that is in the land of Israel, of the land of Israel." And basically what she's saying here is, I know a man who can. And that's what I want to preach on tonight. Amen. I know a man who can. The story of Naaman, the leper, is like a good play, a drama. It's laid out in the Bible, almost like one. One scene builds upon another. There's colorful characters involved in it, and a dramatic climax. Let me introduce you to some of the characters in this marvelous story real quick in the Old Testament. By the way, this story is true. It's not like a lot of stories and novels. This is fiction. This is nonfiction. Amen. This is true. One character is Naaman. We've already mentioned him. He's like the prodigal son of the Old Testament. And then there's the little maiden. She's a type of the Holy Spirit who's trying to lead us in the right direction. And then there are the two kings of Syria and Israel. They are a type of the foolishness of this world, along with the wisdom and temporal wealth of this world. And then there is Elisha the prophet, the next character in this story. He's a type of the Savior, the Christ. And then there is Elijah's messenger. He's a type of the New Testament soul winner who is bearing glad tidings. And so they're full of characters. Then there is Naaman's servants in here. They enter into this drama. They're a shadow of God's grace and long-suffering. And then we have the Jordan River in the final scene. It's a type of the saving and healing faith that we all must go through if we want to get to the other side and be cleansed of our sins. Notice, first of all, in scene number one, the mark of malignity. The mark of malignity. It says there in the last few words of verse 1, but he was a leper. He was malignant. He was diseased. And it was an incurable disease back in those days. Naaman had it all. Think about it. I mean, he had rank, he had title, he had prestige, he had glory, he had wealth, he had success, he was a great man, he was an honorable man, he was a courageous man, he was a mighty man of valor, but. That one little but. You can be all those things, but if you're not saved, my friend, you can take nothing with you. Nothing. But if you're saved, praise God, you can take your spirit and your soul, your heart, mind, and be born again and go to heaven and live forever. He was all these things, but he was a leper. Sometimes all the above would be traded for one's health. Sometimes a person can be on their deathbed or in a terrible illness. They would give everything they own to reclaim their health again. Because at that time, nothing else would really matter but their life. Naaman was like this. Amen. I'd led a two-time millionaire to Christ once in Meade County. And I didn't know he was a millionaire. I heard he was sick and somebody put him on the prayer list. And I went, knocked on his door. It was near Christmas time. And he came to the door, invited me in. And I knew right away that he was Catholic because of all the statues and the Immaculate Conception, or the Immaculate Heart of him and Mary, Jesus and Mary on the wall, and I just figured he was Catholic. But nevertheless, he got down on his coffee table with me, both of us kneeling at his coffee table, and I showed him how to be saved, and he received Christ as his Savior.
Amen.
And I thank God for that. He was dying of cancer. He was malignant. I went back New Year's Eve with our church to sing special songs to him. We were out singing Christmas songs, and he came to the door, and he said, "Brother White, is that you?" I said, "Yes, it is, Fred." His name's Fred Pike. And he said, "Come here, I want to hug you." And by this time, he was down to nothing. He had lost I don't know how much weight. His eyes were sunken in, and he didn't have much longer to go. Big tear came down his eyes, and he said, "I want you to know one thing. For the first time in my life, these songs mean something to me." Now, think about that. Now, all those millions, I asked him one time, he told me he was a two-time millionaire. I said, "Well, what happened to the one time?" He said, "My friends betrayed me." And so you can have all the money you want and still have friends betray you.
Yeah.
The only thing that you can have is a true friend in Jesus.
Amen.
Some might call him Savior, the Redeemer of the world, but I call him friend, my dearest friend. Amen. So this two-time millionaire had gotten saved, and of course, I couldn't preach his funeral, but I went to it, and I thank God that, by the way, we're all dying of sin. Mm-hmm. Through one man, sin entered the world, and death by sin, therefore death is passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So leprosy is a type of sin in the Bible, by the way. And so we've all have a spiritual leprosy, in that we have all sinned, we were born into sin. We're marked with the malignity of sin, and we are in need of a great physician. So was Naaman. He was in need of a great physician, but there was no such cure for leprosy in those days. The rich young ruler was malignant. Amen. But he met Jesus. The woman at the well, she was malignant, but she met Jesus.
Amen.
The Mary of Bethany was malignant, but she met Jesus. Mary Magdalene was malignant, but she met Jesus. By the way, the Virgin Mary was malignant also, and she came by way of the cross. The apostles all were malignant, but they all met Jesus. Blind Bartimaeus was malignant, but he met Jesus. The Syrophoenician woman was malignant, but she met Jesus. The woman with the issue of blood was malignant, but she met Jesus. The kings and the patriarchs of the Old Testament were malignant, but those that were saved met Jesus through the Old Testament spirit. I thank God, my friend, we all have it, but we can all be delivered from it. We can all be healed from it through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, that there's none righteous, no, not one, for we've all sinned. Amen. So we're all malignant, so don't think that, maybe Naaman did something terribly wrong to become a leper. You and I were born lepers. Mercy, we come forth from our mother's womb speaking lies. My goodness. Now, next to enter into this scene is the little maiden, the little maiden. Look at verse 2 and 3. "And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel, a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife, and she said unto her mistress, 'Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy.'" What a bold statement from a young little captive girl. Amen? Now all those that were grown up around her was thinking she must be out of her mind. No one can recover leprosy. She was very insignificant in her little world now. She was a very unimportant little slave girl. But she worked quietly behind the scenes, a type of the Holy Spirit. And she let herself be used, amen, as a testament of truth, and used as an instrument of righteousness, and used as a mighty utensil of faith, and used as a weapon for pulling down the strongholds of Satan. She let herself be used. Amen. You and I need to let each of us be used. We need to let ourselves be used by God.
Amen.
And He will do it. She was saying, look, I have the answer because I know a man who can. I know a man who can. Maybe you know someone's lost in your family. Maybe they're going through a hard time. Maybe they have addictions to drugs or alcohol. Maybe their marriage is falling apart. Maybe they can't control their finances. It could be anything. But you can say, hey, I know a man that can help you. I know a man that can help you. Amen? I got to witness finally to my neighbors across the street. There's three girls live there, teenage girls. And if they're not in it with each other, they've got friends over there that they get into it with. And it was about 3-4 weeks ago, there were no less than 20 police cars, ambulances, and fire trucks on my court. No one could get in and out because of the brawl that that those girls started. I mean, they were wild. And I went out and took pictures of it. And I know their mother, Dana. And, well, I couldn't get a chance to go talk to her, but anyway, about 2 weeks after that, I heard this awful screaming and cursing. You never heard such words come out of such pretty little girls' mouths. And I looked up to see what was going on, of course, and here they were in a fight. I mean, listen, I thought, well, I'm not going to call anybody as long as they're not hurt, I guess, but Then one of the girls didn't want the others to leave, and so she was screaming and hollering and cussing at them, and one of them went in the house to try to settle her down, and she was hysterical, and she pushed her out the front door and off the front porch, and I thought, well, all right, any more of that, I'm going to call 911. Well, all of a sudden, I heard this big kaboom crash after I sat back down, and I thought it was a rifle went off, and I went up and looked, and that girl that was left behind had threw something through that plate front storm door window and glass everywhere. And then she was sitting down just inside of it, crying and screaming and hollering. And the other girls were just getting ready to leave. So I stopped them, called them, told them to come back. She might be cut, might be hurt. She broke the glass. So they now I'm involved. Now they come back and they didn't go in, check on her, so I called 911 because I know you can bleed to death if you get a cut in the wrong place. Amen. So next thing I know, there's a couple of more police cars there again. Oh, listen, I know a man who can take care of that situation. I got to go over there again after that, and I gave their mother those pictures that I had, and I invited them to church, and I asked Dana if she was saved, and she said, well, yeah. She's saved. She knows she's going to heaven when she dies, but I know they go to Saint so-and-so up here somewhere. But I need to keep talking to them, keep working with them, because I know a man who can handle that situation. I know a man who can make that court quiet again. Amen.
Amen.
I know a man that can give them girls peace that passes all understanding. I know a man that can give them a good heart instead of a mean spirit. Amen. And so this little girl here, this little maiden, is a type of the Holy Spirit, and she's trying to lead them in the right direction. The Holy Spirit will always point you to Jesus.
Yes.
It's a false spirit if it doesn't point you to Jesus.
Amen.
This book will always point you to the cross, to Jesus. It's a false book if it points to anyone else.
Yes.
Or anybody else. It always will point you to Jesus Christ because He's the man that can. Amen?
Amen.
Now we notice the little maiden's message here in verse 4. And one that went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maiden that is in the land of Israel. Thus and thus, she said. Thus and thus. Told the story of her witness and her testimony to the king. Now she was a missionary on a mission. Basically, she was a bringer of good news, is what she was. She was a little girl preacher. Oops. Well, she was. Hello.
Come on now.
She was preaching the gospel.
Yes.
Come on now. Hang in there with me. She was proclaiming health to the ill and the sick. She was a willing announcer for awesome peace. Thus and thus. was a word of life. Thus and thus was a word of hope. Thus and thus was a word of encouragement. And God can use the least of us to get His word out. Amen? And we need to let Him do that.
Yes.
I've got a bag full of envelopes back there now. Thank you all for bringing those postage paid envelopes in. I don't know how many's in there, maybe 30 or 40. Thank goodness. We're going to reach 1,000 before July 4th. But don't give up. I'm going to set another goal if we do. Amen. Amen. Let me read this to you in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Chapter 1 and verse 25. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to. You can just listen. The Bible says, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty men, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. He used this little girl to get the message out. And if you and I won't do it, He'll let somebody else do it. If you and I won't do it, a stone or a rock will be doing your job. Amen? Like they sang the last revival we had. Thank God for that message and that song. Amen? Now notice next the madness of the wealth. The madness of wealth. Wealth can cloudy your thinking, can cloud your thinking, make it cloudy. Look at verse 5 and 6. And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. Now they didn't pay any attention to that little girl. Instead, they sent Naaman to the king of Israel. Instead of the man of God, sent him to the president and took an offering to give the president to pay him for his services if he would just heal Naaman of his leprosy. Thus and thus, she said, but they did this and this. Amen. That's the way a lot of Christians are. The preacher will get up here and preach thus and thus, and then we go out and do this and this. Amen. We're no different than